And hello, welcome to the Good Game Guys, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're going to be starting things off a little bit different. Unfortunately, not going to be doing that usual catchphrase of ours, sadly.
Interesting.
Oh, shit, we got us a little bit of technical difficulties right now.
I can hear you talking from behind me.
I can hear myself, too. It's kind of weird.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, man.
Anyways, like we were saying, hey, what's up? We got your Good Game Guys coming to you from some creepy basement somewhere in the OC.
Can't let anybody know where that place is. Am I right, man?
Of course not. We might develop stalkers or stalkers.
Get out of here, stalker.
Yes. So, guys, anything new, random games you guys have tested out today? Or
for the entire week, you mean?
For the entire week, I guess, since last time we talked.
Shoot, we only really get to talk to each other. Well, not only to ourselves, but to our audience, like, once a week. Maybe we'll fix that up at some point. But for now, anyway, yeah, for this past few weeks, I've been doing an awful lot of Payday 2 recently, ever since they introduced the Infamy system, which to most people would just be another word for prestiging, basically hitting the restart button to just level yourself all over again. I've been kind of getting into that a little bit myself, and as I just say, it hit the restart button. That damn restart button that is just so tempting.
Okay, wow, madness. Well,
all right.
Okay.
And I'm mostly just getting this done real quick because tomorrow they're going to be bringing back the Cloakers. For those of you that are familiar with Payday.
Oh, God, the pain.
All right. So from someone who hasn't yet had the pleasure of engaging in some criminal activity via online, can someone please explain to me the Cloakers? Are they Klingon? Romulan? I mean, what? What's going on?
They're like a combination of both. That'll one-hit knock your ass down and arrest you.
It's basically if Sam Fisher jumped into the game itself and just decided to come up and knock your ass to the ground.
They clone J. Edgar Hoover?
Yeah, I guess we can go that way.
Okay. That's scary.
Wait till you see it. Like, I'd rather take, like, to the fans of Payday out there, I'd rather take on a room full of black bulldozers, dude. Bring those on. I don't want to deal with cloakers. That shit's scary.
Black bulldozers. Right. So... African-American football players.
No, well, they're just basically, like, dudes, like, in straight-up heavy armor suits, like bulletproof jackets and stuff like that. And here's a quick little tip for you guys that are new to Payday. The great way to take them down, shoot them in the head. Do what?
Shoot them in the head! Shoot them in the head! They killed your parents!
Anyway.
I'm feeling like I'm way out of the loop.
This ain't no cutscene!
We should probably, you know, do our whole introduction thing, like, hi, I'm Deg.
Oh, TKO.
And Dr. Captain.
And we're going to get better at doing things correctly here. We've sort of, like, taken the beginning of the show and running around like chickens with our heads cut off, like, figuring out some stuff that had to have been figured out, like, 4 hours ago, but...
And thanks to our engineer here, Dag, man, managed to pull off some great miracle work. On
he managed
stuff
to
going.
Scotty that shit together.
So you might be hearing us a little bit more loud, a little bit more clear, and if not, do let us know. As always, you can check us out at Facebook, just look up the Good Game Guys. We opened up a Twitter, and we're following some interesting characters, like a fake account for a guy called Dan Hibiki.
We love Dan Hibiki, man.
Dan is the best character in Street Fighter, like, far fucking none, and I challenge any of you to tell me otherwise.
What?
So you can hit us up at Twitter at GoodGameGuys1. You can also tune into our show live here. We are at blogtalkradio.com/EasyWayBroadcasting. And there's some clandestine whispering going on.
Stuff going on.
Ruh-roh.
Apparently you have a gamer down.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Just,
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Well, a bit of trouble at home right now, but you know what?
Well, the show
must
go
on!
That
wasn't practiced at all. We did pretty well there.
I know, seriously.
Yeah, see? We're
great
getting a little better at
think alike.
We're getting better at this show stuff, but wouldn't you kind of say so?
Right, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, the more you practice, the more bullshittery you get away with.
In any case...
Hold up. We're going to halt the BS-ery, and we're going to go on with our actual segment that we had planned out.
Well,
we're going to go
hold on. Let's save that segment a little later.
Okay. What?
Trust me. Save that segment. We'll get to that bit. Well, right now, I'm actually kind of curious. I got to talk about what I did recently with playing some Payday. You know, Dag, what have you done recently?
I have actually been doing a whole lot of work.
What?
So, like, I had a 17-hour shift from Sunday afternoon to Monday morning. I spent most of Monday asleep, and since then I've just been doing a bunch of research, trying to figure out, you know, some interesting, tasty little tidbits to tell all our listeners here.
For you guys, for you.
Aside from that, I've been cruising around in Star Wars The Old Republic a little bit still. I'm still having fun leveling up the character and all that good stuff.
Have you been infected?
Not yet, but soon, I hope. Aside from that, I have also finally broken down and started playing League of Legends. I did that this morning, actually.
I sadly did not get to catch this match, but okay. I heard some pretty good news. Like, so, I'm a little proud inside.
So as someone who is resisting the urge, or not urge, resisting playing that game, and as a former person who resisted playing that game, your thoughts?
I'm still going to resist playing the game.
Even though I heard you were amazing?
Well, not amazing, but I did okay for like my first time out and having a clue as to what I was doing, which I think helped over, you know, everyone else that was, what, Summoner level 5? So, I mean, it's nothing to write home about, really. But, yeah,
to be fair,
the score was pretty good. Yeah. Like, I was 13-1-6. So.
Yeah, I heard you...
Take that score, dude, especially as a beginner and stuff like
that. I heard
you
were practicing proctology with your left boot.
Very much. Like, 13 kills, 1 death, and 6 assists isn't bad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if we're all tanks, that would be amazing!
So I did please myself a little bit,
By all means, like, hey, if this is someone that plays League of Legends, I say work on that, dude. I mean, don't take that in the wrong way. You did good. You did good.
You only murdered 13 people.
You did good, kid. Keep it up.
Here's looking at you, kid.
All right. You can't even do that. Your eyes ain't blue.
Sure, boring. Better?
What about you? What about you, TK?
You
what have you been?
Fucking squeaking chair.
What about you, TK? What have you been doing lately?
All right. Well, I'm going to be touching up on some of the things that I've been doing later on when I give you guys a clue what's going on in the MMO world. The part that I've decided to use for this week. But right. I've been mainly trying to do the massive plethora of events that World of Tanks has got going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing that. Also, I dove back into some New Vegas and went through again and playing a little bit more of The Last of Us.
So you finally finished that one up, yeah?
Yeah, and it still amazes me how accurate Deg was on when he said that the most difficult enemies that you're going to face are humans with guns.
Yeah.
Not giant mutated things, because...
Which can be scary. Like, the real big ones, if you don't have enough ammo, can be frightening, but the hunters are the scary part.
No, the real big things in the game you can easily sneak by, and the zombies and the clickers.
Right.
The clickers, which are by far probably the most annoying enemy, require you to... You can sneak right past them.
But, yeah, the people generally are the hard part.
Yeah, because they can see you clear across the screen, and they'll shoot at you, whereas most of the infected... will just stand there. You can get up to within 5 feet of them, look at them, sneak behind them, and then shank them in their neck.
Right, right.
Man, I'm being slightly visually shocked right now at some of the traumatic experiences I had in The Last of Us, to be
honest
with you.
Should I call 911? Okay.
Nah, it's...
Sorry, folks. Again, just a little bit of some trouble at home right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot. I'm terribly sorry to my audience right now that we're kind of just stopping this for a moment.
That was kind of shocking.
Yes, a friend of ours just got carried past us.
Well.
You know what? We said it earlier. Show must go on.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
So, a slight concern there, by all means, and our fans, please give our condolences to our friend. I believe he will be fine.
I'm certainly hoping so.
All right.
Why
don't we move along into some news on what's going on in the industry right now? Dave, why don't you take that away?
Sure. Talking about random scary bullshit. So first, I got a correction to make. Last week, I erroneously reported that World of Warcraft's level cap was increasing to 90 with the new Warlords of Draenor expansion. The cap is raising to 95. Oops, my bad. But the boosts that they're going to be offering are still going to be up to level 90. You're still expected to play through the new expansion content to go from 90 to 95. I do apologize for that simple mistake, and will be more diligent with proofreading my own reports from here on. Well, maybe from next week on, because this time I was dealing with a bunch of technical difficulties.
Oh, yeah.
So, in light of that, take all of this with a grain of salt, I suppose. Harebrained Schemes website has reported that Shadowrun Dragonfall, which is a major expansion for the Magic meets Cyberpunk tactical RPG mashup Shadowrun Returns, is just weeks away, but the time to take action is now, by which they mean you ought to pre-order this. They also posted some screenshots in anticipation of the February 27, 2014 launch date, and the expansion will take runners to Berlin and contains a multitude of new features and
enhancements. Sieg Heil!
Oh. Wow.
Look at this neo-Nazi guy right here, man.
No, I'm just practicing what I'm going to scream when I'm infiltrating their camp so I can stab them in the neck.
Anyway, the title will be available for purchase on Steam, and a DRM-free version will be available on GOG.com. So Shadowrun Dragonfall is going to debut on Windows, OS X, and Linux, and then there will be iPad and Android tablet versions to follow. Respawn's Twitter account released more information about Titanfall, their upcoming and highly anticipated shooter.
Awesome!
There will be no microtransactions in this game, so the only cost to really access the game is the purchase of the game itself. Furthermore, Vince Zampella tweeted a response to the leaked news of plans for a Titanfall beta next month. He promises more details in the coming days. There's an updated release date for South Park: The Stick of Truth on Steam right now, showing March 14th as the release date. The development of South Park: The Stick of Truth has suffered various delays since its announcement back in 2011. The game, written by Matt Stone and Trey Parker, creators of South Park, resisted the closure of THQ and saw the game's publishing rights being bought by Ubisoft. Ubisoft's blog quotes March 4th as the official date, and with the South Park behind-the-scenes trailer, Trey Parker says, "I hope we don't get a fucking 4 on GameSpot."
Oh,
geez, that's a huge snap right there. Sorry, Duke.
Right? Didn't Duke Nukem have like a 14-year development cycle? Jesus.
Oh, I don't even recall anymore.
And
like,
it scored just like a 50 on Metacritic or like a 51 or something.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I
don't even think it's going to be March 4th. I think it's going to be straight up another delay.
Shake it, baby.
I
Ubisoft guess, suddenly it goes bankrupt.
I guess we'll see.
Nah, it's not going to happen. Assassination is just too good a business.
I guess so. Yeah.
So The Last of Us Left Behind is the upcoming single-player DLC for 2013's Game of the Year. Naughty Dog states that this will be the only story-based DLC they will offer for the game. They have also stressed that this DLC will be significant in length. Naughty Dog community strategist Eric Monticelli responded to fan questions in the comments section of the PlayStation blog, revealing more about the future DLC plans. He wrote, "There's multiplayer DLC up next. We don't have any more single-player DLC planned," and later on added, "It'll be a good length. It depends on how good you are and what difficulty you're playing at, really." Monticelli has also confirmed that the DLC will have a new musical score. It is anticipated that the story will revolve around the time Ellie got bitten and lost her friend, which she had told Joel early on in the last
game. Oh, it's a
so
prequel.
No spoiler alert here, guys.
Prequel.
Well, early game is when she mentioned that. So
yeah.
If you haven't gotten that far in the game yet, then you haven't played it yet.
And yeah, that's like 2 minutes, which technically makes it a prequel since it's before you're... Well, actually, no, because the game does start before the outbreak even happened. Oh, catch 22.
But then it catches up 20 years later because that's...
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, Joel's an old, you know, angry guy.
Very angry.
The Bethesda blog, at BethBlog, has announced receiving a rating for The Elder Scrolls Online. Brace yourself. This game is going to come back with an M for mature rating. Bethesda's announcement reads, "The ESRB advised us that it has given The Elder Scrolls Online a mature rating. While we may disagree with the ESRB's determination, we do not plan to challenge the rating, and we are unwilling to change the game's content to achieve a different rating. The game we have created is the one we want our fans to be able to play." They were most likely targeting a T for teen rating, as that's, you know, generally the most popular rating that you're going to find in the most popular MMOs. World of Warcraft, Guild Wars 1 and 2, EVE Online, EverQuest, etc., they all had T ratings. This rating shouldn't really come as a surprise because Skyrim was given an M rating for blood and gore, intense violence, sexual themes, use of alcohol. Oblivion also received an M rating due to all of the above plus language. Both games were wildly successful despite that rating.
Yeah,
they'll probably still be successful too.
Exactly, come on.
The Elder Scrolls Online is slated to come out with a $60 price tag with a $15 a month subscription fee.
Not playing it!
No news yet as to whether or not they're going to embrace microtransactions or if it's going to be a peer subscription model, so we'll get more as we can research into the next week. I should be able to provide some more updates, assuming they release more information.
Mm.
Triumph Studios has been diligently working on their hybrid turn-based strategy / RPG Age of Wonders 3, which is due out first quarter of this year. This is more on the wacky side of gaming, as their new trailer shows off the Rogue Leader's capabilities, and these capabilities include in-game stealth tactics, along with courtesan ambassadors to improve relations with neighboring factions, and a couple flavors of succubi. The draconian succubi are scaled, the dwarven succubi are bearded.
That's a hard choice.
Right.
Yeah. Not sure what to say to that.
Why isn't seduction a valid power play in other turn-based strategy games like Europa Universalis or the Total War series? Like, I'm sure there's I'm sure there's a niche market for bearded women out there somewhere, and it looks like Triumph is set to capture.
Hey, there are geishas in Total War, or Shogun 2 Total War.
No shit.
Yes.
What do they do in that?
They seduce other generals to join your faction.
Huh. All interesting. Right.
That's neat. World of Tanks Update 8.11 is set to introduce combat between nations. As the game currently works, when you start a battle, the opposing teams are faced off with tier balances on either side. With this update, which is available on their public test realm if you want to check it out, they have added a more nationalistically based confrontation mode, which should unite vehicles of the same country against those of another.
That's going to be awesome.
The update will also include a new map called Windstorm, which appears to be a winter-based map set in a European-styled city. You can head over to wargaming.net for more information regarding their games, including World of Warplanes, World of Tanks, and the upcoming World of War ships. Furthermore, I just saw an update regarding World of Tanks earlier. If you play World of Tanks on the Xbox 360, unfortunately you're not playing right now, because they took the servers down today in preparation for a full retail release. So the beta servers on the 360 are now down.
Oh.
Sony Online Entertainment has revealed plans to shut down four separate MMOs. Free Realms and Clone Wars Adventures will be done on March 31st of this year. Vanguard and Wizardry Online are both due to close July 31st. The Vanguard website has the most information available regarding these closures so far, and this has been quoted as, here's the deal. Player population numbers have decreased, making it difficult to justify the resources needed to support and update this game. This is an older game, and we're experiencing more and more technical challenges to continue running and updating it in the way you deserve. Simply put, these are issues that cannot be fixed in the long term, and as a player, we would be doing you a disservice and going against our company commitment to provide the best gameplay experiences. So, given this information, sunsetting the game later this year is the inevitable conclusion. Again, this is not a decision that we approach lightly or without serious thought and examination. We've grown with you and the community throughout the years, and shutting down the game is certainly not ideal, but necessary regardless. We don't really have any... that quote is over.
okay. I'm afraid that thing was about to go on. I'm going, wait a second.
We don't really have too much further information as to what exactly is going on. But it sort of appears to be part of Sony Online Entertainment's deeper plan to involve players with their quote-unquote all-access plans, which should offer benefits to their games which could currently be regarded as free-to-play, such as premium content access to DC Universe Online, PlanetSide, PlanetSide 2, Dragon's Prophet, etc.
Oh, God, DC Universe Online.
Their all-access plan should also include subscriber-level access to all of the EverQuest content, including their upcoming EverQuest Next. I'm not sure what the all-access plan is going to cost yet, but it may end up being more per month because it does allow you access to just about every one of their titles. We'll have more information as it gets revealed. Sony should be posting some more info about that in the next coming week or two.
Nice.
Last week we talked about Kickstarter crowdfunding and what that's doing with game funding and development in general. Broken Age from Double Fine was made available yesterday on the 28th, so those of you who didn't fund this game are now able to purchase it on Steam. Tim Schafer of Double Fine stated in PC Gamer's podcast that, quote, I used to feel like we couldn't do a second one. It's called Kickstarter, not Kick Forever. But it doesn't have to be limited to that, unquote. He went on to explain that though this project worked out, only time's going to tell if they recoup enough money from it to continue building games just based on their profit.
Huh.
He has also said that he's open to kickstarting more games, more teams, which should allow for greater fan interaction in the development process. He might be on point in this thinking, personally, but it could also fall short. So I suppose only time's going to tell if this is really going to change the way that games are developed.
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of just a little weird as well, considering how much money was kind of was made in the first time around with the Kickstarter? How much was the figures again? Just over 400, four,
just wasn't, under 4 million, I believe, for Broken Age. Yeah,
so,
like 3.9 million, if memory serves correct.
You know, my question that kind of comes up with this, and here comes the pure speculation aspect of it all, folks.
Fair enough.
The news has ended, I believe.
Yeah.
So, now let's talk about it.
Well,
so my concern so far is, you know, where exactly is the rest of the money that came out from where exactly is the rest of the money coming or that went into the Kickstarter? Like, I know for a fact it really didn't cost, you know, $3 million just to make this adventure game.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it doesn't look like they spent a whole lot on it, but you also got to keep in mind that the money that they had was more a factor for every other team that they can get started, all that good stuff.
So what you're saying is that a lot of that money probably went on to some other projects of theirs as well?
It's entirely possible, but there's no way to know for certain. But we're going to have to take a quick break here, so we shall be back in about 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. Our watches are the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and international design models. HavanaWatches.com. Find watches exclusively for you.
And we have come back. Thanks for tuning in here. I did want to talk a little bit more about Kickstarter with you. Kickstarter also funded Wasteland 2 by Brian Fargo, who started In Exile Entertainment, and he has gone on to start a Kickstarter trend called Kicking It Forward, where companies who have been kickstarted promise to spend 5% of their profit from said projects and fund whatever other projects they see fit. It seems to be more of a noble goal regarding the honor system and all that sort of stuff, but it may help speed game development companies along the way of breaking free from publisher strangleholds on things such as intellectual property rights, and it also should put major development decisions back into the hands of the developers, which should also take some of the power away from publishers that are too afraid to take major risks.
So we'll finally actually start seeing, like, more different types of genres out there that are not profitable. I'm doing the air quotes here, folks.
Well, sure. I mean, we might start seeing some more more adventure games, more point-and-click stuff. We may see some more story and puzzle-based games that have sort of gone to the wayside, as they don't appear to be as profitable as many AAA titles out there, which, by the way, tend to have funding that's a lot greater than $3 or $4 million.
Heck, isn't Star Citizen getting closer, or barely reaching that itself? Like, did it just reach it, or did it just pass it? If anybody remembers Star Citizen here?
I'm not too familiar with that. I followed it a little bit, but not enough to know that answer to that question. Dave?
I'm sorry, I got distracted. What did you ask?
Man, these distractions just keep coming up at us, man. This is how you know it's live, folks.
Right.
Anyway, so remember, my question right now is just, didn't Star Citizen reach somewhere around that particular same amount of money as Double Fine did when they made their pledge?
Oh, God, no. Star Citizen has made over 10 times that. They hit a record. They hit something like $37 million as opposed to $3.7 million.
Damn.
That just makes me wonder why, you know, companies don't really realize that things that they deem not profitable, doing the air quotes again, folks, is just something that they don't actually realize actually makes profit. Like, can this teach the industry that a lot of the stuff that they deem dead is in fact not?
Yes and no. I think it's more a matter of, with Kickstarter, it allows them to skip investors and publishers and all that sort of stuff and go straight to the fans. The fans that would want that type of game are the ones that are going to be putting money into it in the first place.
Which Kickstarter right now should be used as, like, a standard Because if all these fans are saying, hey, we want this, like they're making a remake of River City Ransom.
Yeah.
It's like the fans have spoken. Like these game companies should actually go to Kickstarter and see what types of games that the fans are actually willing to put their money in before the game's even made to see what's going to be profitable or not. Because there's like some old school games that, I mean, I would like a love remake, like the X-Wing series, the simulator series, even Star Trek Bridge Commander, and I would love to play, you know, new like Ninja Turtles games, like Turtles in Time and whatnot. I mean, I would absolutely love to do that. Also, Double Dragon. I mean, who here does not remember and love Double Dragon?
I've always had a thing for Billy and Jimmy Lee. Like Double Dragon, Double Dragon was part of my life growing up, and that will never go away. Same thing with Castlevania.
Oh, the Belmonts up top.
Seriously, like the entire Belmont family is kind of rad, even including those that were less than popular.
I want to see how many audience strokes I give right now, and I say this: who here would not give their left testicle or firstborn child for a Castlevania Symphony of the Night remake?
How about instead of a remake, we go with a Symphony of the Night-styled new Castlevania?
Or even a remake.
The style of Castlevania has kind of been dead as of late, because haven't they really just been turning it more into like your straight-up Devil May Cry beat-em-up
style? Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about side-scrolling, maybe making 16-bit, but a classic Symphony of the Night sequel where you're a la carte. Maybe not necessarily the flipping the castle upside down when you think you're done.
Maybe you're not a la carte this time. Maybe you're Shaft.
Oh, yeah.
Shaft taking on Dracula.
No.
Indeed.
Black Dynamite taking on Dracula.
Shaft taking on a la carte. Like, wasn't Shaft a joke boss?
Dynamite!
And TKO here has just been in love with that movie ever since.
Fair enough, man.
But, yeah, anyway, it appears that Dr. Captain has something new that he would like to talk about, so tuning over to him That's a lot of ass.
So, this is basically going to start off, what this segment is, essentially, to let the viewers know what's up. I kind of get pissed off a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, that's a huge surprise.
I'm
who knew?
Shocked.
No shit.
So anyway, one of the recent things that have wound up happening, and I'm going to risk going into movie territory with this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
what?
Uh-oh. So first
sorry,
off...
Sorry, Eric.
Yeah, sorry about that, Eric. We got to butt into your territory again, dude. It's all for gaming as well.
Okay.
So who here is actually is familiar with the fact that Sony is introducing a Ratchet & Clank movie?
I have seen some tell of that, yeah.
Actually, yes, I saw a couple of replays.
Yeah, you saw the replay of this trailer. What do? You just go home and just keep hitting the replay button and go like, I need to watch this.
I
like this.
I plead the fifth.
That's not a deny, folks. Anyway,
did TKO just NSA that? Like, I can neither confirm nor deny those allegations.
Exactly. It was a weather balloon.
A little bit of political humor there for you guys. But so the Ratchet & Clank movie. Now, this is something that's going to be coming out, and for those of you that have previously seen the trailer for this movie, it outright looks something straight out of a video game. In fact, to be honest, if I didn't really know better, I'd actually call it the next Ratchet & Clank game because, you know, the CG looks straight out as if they pulled it from the actual engine that they use,
okay.
Which is kind of surprising. Now, with that said, here's where I get pissed. So, as of recent, they announced, and I'm going to go ahead and give a little backstory about myself. I'm a fanboy of this series of games. Like, I love this fucking series. I hope they make more. Sorry for the F-bomb, folks.
Please.
I'm just that passionate.
Let it ring out, man. Drop them F-bombs.
I am a fan of the Sly Cooper series.
Okay.
Now, they recently announced that they plan on doing a Sly Cooper movie. Now, at first, I think, hey, that's kind of cool. I'm a fan of the series. I'd love to see some fresh, you know, life be put into the franchise, considering it's been a little bit on the dead side until as of recent when Part 4 came out. And with some hope, there's going to be a Part 5. But then I started actually looking at the screenshots of the trailers themselves. And what the hell?
Explain.
Like, okay. Like, I'm going to explain real quick. Like, I have a bit of an issue with some of the character concepts and the animation quality of the entire thing as a whole. Now, I'm going to start off with the animation quality. Now, first off, you know, again, this is based on the trailer, the screenshots I saw before the actual trailer came out. So just letting you know, I did see the trailer. And it kind of confirms a little bit of my thoughts, is that when I saw the images and the trailer, I couldn't help but wonder, just like the complete graphical design of the movie itself completely changed. Like, it doesn't look anything like the actual game itself. It looks something straight. It looks more realistic. I don't even know if I could say realistic. Like, I'm going to go as far as to say it looks like... Does anybody remember Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that movie.
I couldn't get past it, because the stop motion just kind of looked weird to me. Like,
stop motion? What, claymation? Or...
No, like... Yeah, sort of. Like, like, I'm not a huge prude on stop motion. Like, hey, I love the hell out of Nightmare Before Christmas. Coraline was awesome. You know, to give some background here, folks, just so I'm not completely hating. But I just couldn't dig it. I couldn't get past Fantastic Mr. Fox, and that's the same vibe I'm kind of getting with the Sly Cooper franchise.
Sly Cooper was straight up CGI, though.
Well, I suppose I can understand the point, considering that weren't the Sly Cooper games all, like, cel-shaded and sort of smooth
animation?
They were!
Like, that's another thing that kind of irks me a little bit, too, is that whenever, like, a true Sly Cooper fan, like, outright, you know, thinks of Sly Cooper, what is it to you? It's a cel-shaded, you know, comic book style, Saturday morning cartoon, you know, animation style. So, what's the deal here? Why exactly did we decide to do the more realistic view on it all? Like, that's my huge question on it as a whole. And then, you know, I started seeing some of the character concepts. Now, okay. All right, I'll go ahead and let Sly pass. Sly actually looks kind of like Sly. But Bentley and Murray, on the other hand, again, this fanboyism in me talking right now.
Yeah.
Look a little bit a hell of a lot different than the initial original design. Like, I dare some people to go over and take a look at the screenshots, if you will, and take a closer look at Murray. What the hell? That's not Murray. Murray was supposed to be like the driver, if you will. Like, he's the escape driver, if you will, and just dresses the part. He's got, like, a scarf, he's got a hood, he's got driver goggles and stuff like that. And in this movie, if you will, they make him totally, like, all thugged up and stuff like that because, hey, I gotta be the thug.
Oh,
I'm the muscle of the group here, guys. What the heck? We gotta be hip and young to this new generation of audience. They like the gangster stuff. What the hell?
Okay.
All right. T is looking at me kind of weird.
So how do you really feel about that?
I mean, yeah. It bugs me because, again, we're just appealing so much to a demographic that doesn't exist.
Okay, what he's trying to say is, thugs are bad.
All right.
Okay, sure, Mr. Mackey.
Thugs are bad.
Now, my final thing that kind of bugs me right now, and I'm going to go strictly in the speculation aspect of it all.
Oh, okay. No.
Oh, no, more speculation.
More speculation.
Oh, God.
What would we do without it?
Seriously, we probably wouldn't be talking right now, would we?
Right?
Now,
thought our show was based on fact in the first place.
Oh, yeah, silly rabbits. Those tricks are for kids.
So, my speculation so far is that when I saw the trailer, I actually felt a little happy inside that they kept some of the initial voice actors. Bentley and Murray are the same voice actors. Can't really tell with Sly. Like, it kind of sounds like the same voice actor, but at the same time... But at the same time, it sounds like they got the same dude that does the voice of Ratchet.
Oh.
And that's got me thinking and worried for a moment. Because they're intentionally making his voice sound more young, if you will. Which is making me dread the fact that they plan on turning this movie into a prequel or an origin story. Which outright bugs me.
Huh. What? Why is that?
Because, to be honest with you, it's going to come down to this, right? So my initial argument is set up to where people like to say, oh, well, we have to continue to bring up an origin story so that people are familiar with the franchise. Bull.
Yes, exactly.
You don't need to do that. You want to know when you do need to do that? And I'm going to go into the comic book series movies right now. Because let's go ahead and actually start. Let's ask the big major question.
Okay.
Uh-oh. When did comic books actually come out?
Wait, it's about to be own skillet time. Everyone, I hope you go into the kitchen. Get your skillet. Get your Pam. Spray it real like so his face doesn't stick to the skillet, because we're going to have to what skillet
it? I'm reaching like DEFCON 2 right now, dude.
You're turning red.
Yeah, I'm red. Like,
Okay. What do you mean, when did comic books come out?
Let's go ahead and focus on like some of the comic book movies that came out, like Superman, Batman. When did they first come out? Captain America, all of them.
Like the original?
World War II in 1940s, yeah. Right.
Oh, I mean, back Korea. My bad, Korea.
Well, whatever. Back in the 1940s before...
50s,
40s, you know.
I think it was the
50s. We'll fact check this later.
Well, you asked the question. I figured you would have an answer.
Exactly.
My answer is around the 1940s, because Captain America was actually during around the World War II era.
Ah, that's probably 50s after.
Was Captain America?
Because you do know it was
propaganda?
Only 5 years between the end of the World War II and the 1950s.
Law. Historic lesson aside. We're getting away from my initial point. Right.
Go
now.
Ahead.
We're getting away from our point and going more towards
We
facts.
Have one of those.
Yeah. How dare we get factual here on
the
show.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, the fact is we don't know what we're talking about. So now we're sounding like idiots.
I actually do keep up on my history. Sorry, people.
I don't keep up on comic book release dates.
But my point right now is that... But the thing is, though, those comic books are way older than you or I at this point. We can, let's just agree on that.
All right,
yeah.
Fine.
And let's be honest with ourselves. We can't find the original source material these days. Now, can we? Like, I can't go out and find, like, Detective Comics with Batman in it because, you know, the issues like that are very rare or don't even exist anymore or cost, like, $100 because it's the mint condition stuff.
Wait, I have a question for you. All right. How many Sly Cooper games are there?
Four total.
So it's four total. So how many hours would you say, giving an estimate, how many hours of material are there in those four games that are right now?
A pretty good amount of material, actually, considering there are, like, the five overworlds within each kind of game, and they are very lengthy in themselves.
Now, think about this, too. If someone's going to...
Let's get back to the ass. Like, what is your point? What point
So,
are you
my point
to?
Right now is that the reason why we have, like, these origin stories with comic books is because, again, the source material is not hard or is not easy to find.
Okay.
Like, it makes sense why we decided to go ahead and make a origin story of Captain America, because, again, we can't really take the time to find the Golden Age era and all this stuff. T right here is making gestures, like, he's trying to counteract me right now. In fact, I think I may let him, just for this brief moment. Like, I want to see his counteraction to this.
Okay. Now, I do agree partially in that, but you also forget, there are people like me. I've never played a Sly Cooper game. To me, that game had absolutely zero appeal to me whatsoever.
That's fine, but here's the thing.
So Hollywood is not just targeting. Now, Hollywood decides they're going to invest into making a movie about a video game. They're not just targeting you.
But here's the thing, though. Ringtone going off.
Okay, they're not just going to be they're not just going to be targeting you. They're going to be targeting, finding a way to make that movie appeal more to wider audiences, to people who have not played the game. So if I have not played Sly Cooper and they're going to produce a Sly Cooper movie and they're not going to do an origin story, let's say, okay, there's four games. So let's say the movie's going to take place either in between the third and the fourth game or maybe sometime after the fourth game. I'm going to be watching that movie not knowing what the heck's going on, or they're going to have to go ahead and do the thing that I cannot stand is when they try to make a movie without an origin in it, they go, we're going to spend 30 to 45 minutes of the movie shoving origin in your face and taking away from the actual what's going on in that movie. Like, oh, the main character.
Sure, totally. But
now we're
going to
do a 15-minute cutscene
flashback
of who that boss is.
All right, now
hang on just a second, because you could do it in the entirely opposite way. You could do absolutely next to no origin, maybe a 5-minute gloss over, like, Pacific Rim.
I could kind of dig that.
Wait, but
actually,
does Pacific Rim have any backstory or war?
Yeah, it's got a huge backstory.
Well, the beginning of the fucking war. Like, Pacific Rim took place way later in the story. Like, how many years later was the storyline of Pacific Rim?
It was supposed to be, like, 5 years after the initial beginning.
Right.
And then wasn't it, like, another couple years or so later? But here's the thing, though. I'm actually even going to dispute right now with you, T, because the issue that I have with you trying to say, like, oh, well, I've never been invested in the Sly Cooper franchise, and, you know.
Oh, dude, your sister's rad.
Okay, Alana,
I get that.
Hold on 1 second. All right, we got to pause real quick, give props to my sister, Miss Jaden. Thank you very much. She has researched for us and said that Captain America first appeared, number one, dated March of 1941, you go girl. Having an awesome sister is awesome.
Dude, there you go. Enough.
Wow, she knows more than we do.
There you go.
Dude, she's sitting behind her computer right now. She probably researched it.
Oh, please. Why isn't she on the show with us?
Because she's in Georgia.
Well, let's bring her over here.
She can call in. She can call in at 914-338-1303 if she wants to, you know,
shut someone down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's a fun fact, folks. The phone lines are now open, so please call in.
Yes.
Now, with that said, I'm going
to
go ahead and dispute, like, why you feel you need to have the origin story. See, I understand, again, when it comes down to the comic book aspect, because they are older. Now, with the Sly Cooper franchise, the very first game came out in 2002, around the era of the PlayStation.
So what about the people who have not played the game?
Now, here's the thing, though. That's my point, is that this thing is fairly recent. it doesn't need an origin story because the game is still fairly new in the eyes. It is still easy to access, to get your hands on the copy, especially since they came out with a remastered collector's edition with the first three games in it.
Okay, but what if they're not gamers? What if they're not a gamer?
What do they have a business doing then?
Okay, so yes, I'm saying they're sculpting the movie to appeal to not just gamers, but to say anyone who is, hey, this movie might appeal. I might like the movie.
They're trying to get the widest audience.
Exactly. That is the reason why, which unfortunately, a lot of times requires an origin-type first movie to get the people who are not gamers or who are not going to ever go buy the game because they don't play video games, but to be able to appeal to them too. Instead of if they go watch the movie, they're not sitting in the theater confused, going,
huh. Let me go ahead and point out a few things, actually, because believe it or not, I actually got confused when I started seeing some of the old comic book movies, like Blade. I didn't know a thing about Blade beforehand when I went into it, but guess what? I got interested in the comics because I found out, hey, this was a movie based on a comic book. So guess what? I'm doing what I can to try and collect some Blade comics. And that's how it should kind of work a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean that would require.
So mad.
I am mad.
That would require them to specifically tone down their movie to fit to only the demographics of people who were in the comics and stuff, which is not that large a percentage of the population of movie watchers. I got a question. How many say? Sorry, ladies, but we'll just use. Okay, how many girls do you know that would probably never play the Sly Cooper video game, but would possibly go watch the movie? And of them,
just based on that alone, how the heck could you even agree that girls would even be willing to watch a movie if they don't even know what it is in the first place?
Because the thing called the movie trailer or reading about the movie. Like right now, I have a plethora of people who don't play video games, but like the Tomb Raider series or enjoyed Mortal Kombat movie part one. Sorry, people. Part one.
You're not going. No, this is another rage segment for another day. And you know what? At the bottom line, that this is just something that just outright kind of upsets me, mostly on the origin story status. And to be honest with you, I find it to be a load of ass.
Okay, how many Superman movies are there out there right now? Right, the newest one, the newest, arguably best Superman movie is a what? Origin movie. Even though red-blooded American knows Superman's past, almost every single red-blooded American knows he was put in a little egg and fired off of his planet it went boom.
You know what else it is?
What?
Is a fucking reboot, you hack.
Dude,
how dare you?
Pause. I'm sorry. Superman gets rebooted every few decades. If you not remember when he first came out, he could accidentally destroy a solar system by sneezing.
That's something that sort of pisses me off, is why do we keep rebooting movies that don't need to be rebooted?
Well,
is Hollywood out of original ideas?
Oh, we already stated that, yes, they are out of original ideas.
Yeah,
okay, Judge Dredd, guess what new movie's coming out soon? RoboCop!
To be fair, though, RoboCop does look kind of good.
Yeah, but still, it's like they could have came up with something new.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Dude, the original RoboCop.
I am the law.
Because it was so campy.
Campy? Explain.
It was fucking campy.
There's good in camp.
Okay.
There's good in camp.
I want to. What?
Okay.
Are you not familiar with camp inside movies and such?
No.
Dang, we just decided to turn our game show into a movie topic for today.
Why
folks.
Did we do this?
Because. Hold on, wait. Did you guys play RoboCop versus Terminator back in SNES?
No.
Managed to save it somehow.
Dude,
good job there.
It was awesome. Okay, but, fighting Ed 209s as RoboCop, priceless.
Fair enough. I wonder if it was as much a piece of shit as the Total Recall NES game.
Oh, no, this game, I played it religiously.
So it was actually good?
It was good.
Played it as well.
You were RoboCop, and you got, like, sent to the future, so you're going around as RoboCop fighting Terminators, and then, like, you know, you also end up in a point fighting Ed 209, so it's like the game was actually, I thought it was going to be utter and total crap, but it was fun.
I suppose that's fair.
So it looks like we got some live feed going on in the chat room right now. Is there anything like they want to say?
It doesn't look like it. Just,
no?
You know, we got some props.
We got some props. Wow, look at that. What's the prop so far, if I may ask?
One person said, "You're sounding good. Interesting material. All props to you." And
hey,
and then they quit out. So.
Oh. I don't know how to take that, to be honest.
Don't run. Talk to us.
Stick around.
Like call in or something. But we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back in about a minute.
Yeah, it's probably going to be about my steampunk Havana watch that I'm wearing right now with all the gears and awesome lookingness.
This guy just showing off right now.
I'm buying.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. HavanaWatches.com provides the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in our custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and internationally designed models. HavanaWatches.com has been creating high-quality watches since 2004. Our executive staff has over 18 years of watch experience. I myself was the past president of Whitnor Watches International. We are American-owned and operated. Our goal is to provide you with a watch you are proud to wear. We want to be your preferred watch brand in the United States. See our styles at HavanaWatches.com. Find watches exclusively for you.
We are back.
Yes, we are. You might have jumped the gun on that by about a second, but that's okay.
Yeah, man, you should have seen him during the commercial. He kept going on and on about that steampunk watch of his. He's just in love with that thing.
What?
Your steampunk watch?
Last week I didn't watch. Now that you can see it, does that not scream steampunk?
That does kind of look steampunk.
That's a cool-looking watch.
I
want that more than I want the one that I've got.
I still want to know if they'll custom do, like, some watches. I mean, what if I actually want, like, some kind of a weird neon cyberpunk watch? Will they do that?
Dude.
That's hard to say.
Oh, no. I know what I want. Tron watch.
Dude, I kind of want that cyberpunk watch. Hold on the face, I want that to be like a nuclear glowing green sort of thing.
Ooh, nuclear punk.
Right? Like, dude, how cool,
like,
would that be?
Like Fallout status even.
Right.
I could dig that.
I'm worth that. We should probably contact them and see if they'd hook it up.
They probably will, depending on how popular we get. They'd probably be willing to do it, you know.
Let's hold off on the business.
Let's not count our chickens before they hatch.
Hey, I've already counted. I've already counted. And rotisserie my chickens. I'm like, lemon pepper.
Well, you go ahead and live in the world of fantasy. Me and Deck here will live in the world of reality.
Hey, I'm just looking toward the future. I have a dream.
A dream of fried chicken.
And roasted chicken and barbecued chicken. With little white boys and black boys and Asian boys. And we'll sit down and have chicken and beer.
Oh, my God. That might be the most racist thing you have ever done against your own race.
It's not against our race. It's
culturally accepted, apparently.
It is what we do. It's how we... we do it.
All right.
This guy's just full of tunes, man.
I'm just saying.
Before the break, we were talking about video game movies and video games made from movies. Like, dude, movies that are made out of video games typically suck. Video games that are made out of movies typically suck.
Very rarely is there
an exception. Yeah, very rarely are there good movies. And then
Mortal Kombat. One.
I'm going to go against a popular vote right now, actually.
I think Postal was pretty good. I like the Postal movie.
Dude.
That was a video game?
I'm gonna risk getting hated on right now. Okay. I actually enjoyed the Super Mario Bros. Movie.
Oh, get out.
You're right. Fired.
Attention, Good Game Guys is now hiring a third host. Please submit your applications to blogtalkradio.com/GoodGameGuys or Facebook.com/GoodGameGuys.
But hear me out.
Nope, you're fired.
No.
Twitter says GoodGameGuys1.
Exactly.
But hear me out, because in all honesty, like, totally, the movie is nowhere close to what the actual game series is. But at the same time, what could you really work with back in the old days?
Really?
Get a plumber back to the castle. Really? To save the princess. Smartassery aside.
6'9"
Smartassery.
6'9" Goombas.
Oh, my God.
With metal jaws like they belong in some bad Bond film.
Smartassery aside.
Oh, my God.
I actually kind of like the different approach they decided to take on to it and kind of wish it wasn't Super Mario. Like, I think it could have been a hell of a lot better if that wasn't the case.
If they just called it something else?
Totally.
Okay.
I don't know, man. A shit by any other name smells the same.
True that.
But we still enjoy said shit, Mr. I Watched Postal.
Dude, Postal was one of the greatest movies of our time.
Uh-huh. Okay, since I haven't seen that or never heard of the game, I'm going to let it go. Whoa. I'm sorry. Wait. We have a hands down. Audiences, feel free to back me on this. If either one of them have the audacity to try to dispute that this is one of the greatest video game movies ever created.
Uh-oh.
Silent Hill.
It was okay.
Sure, okay.
Video game movies.
10 times 0 is still 0, right?
No, I'm sorry. That movie was creepy.
Yeah.
It creeped me out. It felt creepy enough, and they had Pyramid Head in it, and he ripped some girl's skin right off.
Did they have, like, the blinking flashlights and the static on the radios and shit?
Yes.
Like, and did they do it right?
Because I didn't
see that.
They had the whole, I'm just going to leave the city. Where did this giant freaking cavern come from? I just drove across here.
Ooh, look at that, hitting the microphone.
I just drove across this street 5 minutes ago. I'm turning around, and now there's this gaping Grand Canyon preventing me from leaving the... And they even had the creepy babies. They had the creepy babies, too, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, but my issue...
That movie was amazing.
My issue with the Silent Hill movie and really does start with the
and
fact
they
that
the
they decided to bring in Pyramid Head. I really don't think that was necessary, considering Pyramid Head's initial
purpose.
Pyramid
Head is like the nemesis, the tyrant.
No,
not really. Okay,
the only reason Pyramid Head even exists is because, again, in Silent Hill 2, he was supposed to represent James, or he was another manifestation of the character James.
Okay, what enemy?
Of his sexual frustration that he had.
Okay, what enemy in Silent Hill is more profound than Pyramid Head?
That's not really the point, though.
No. When you think of Resident Evil, you're going to think of Tyrant. Okay.
When you think of the Silent Hill movie, did it cover Silent Hill 1 or Silent Hill 2? Or
it looked like it was a mix. It had aspects from Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2. It had like the whole creepiness, the intro of Silent Hill 1, but it had Pyramid Head from Silent Hill 2, and it had things. It had like the classic radio. I'm not sure about the flashlight. I can't remember that, but I do remember Pyramid Head. He like grabbed this chick by her freaking face, grabbed her by the chest, and ripped her skin straight off. It was amazing.
Yeah, you've been harping on that for a little while. Like, we get
but,
that he
yeah,
ripped her skin off.
Effects speaking, that was kind of cool, but at the same time, again, I mean, the reason
was that
why...
Like classical effects, or was it CGI?
I don't know.
That's just how movies work nowadays. We don't do practical effects anymore.
Well, practical
no, we
effects...
Do.
Sure we do.
When? When's the last time we've actually done a practical effect within the last 3 years?
3 years? Jesus, when's the last time I actually went to the theater to watch a movie?
I wonder why. Is it because most effects are CG these days and just looks so damn fake? The silence has officially reached the room.
I would say Star Trek, which they still blow up real models in their ship explosions because that
Did
looks...
Did they?
Yes.
Really?
They blow up real models because it looks cool. Well...
That's honestly news to me and sounds
actually,
like
wait,
something
wait,
I
wait,
would
wait,
mind
stop.
A little fact-checking.
Hold on, wait. The newest ones with the whole new rendition of the old Star Trek, maybe not, because they also I have a whole rage segment on that, but we'll go there.
You know what? Actually, why don't we go ahead and go there? Actually.
Oh God, no!
We've all got our rage moments. I had my rage. You know what?
We got 7 or 8 minutes to kill. Why not?
Okay, fine. Now, this is the Star Trek fans out there, the ones who are say, you know, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager and whatnot. Now, they have these things that... Okay, the reason, one of the main reasons why I was so irked at Star Wars is because they're like, okay, divert our shields, full power of our shields to the rear. Like, okay, and then they get shot by a TIE fighter. One shot hits them, and they explode. I'm like, you said you had shields. Shields are supposed to stop incoming enemy fire. Okay, whatever. In Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, if something was fired at the ship, the shields would stop it. You'd see the shield glow, you'd see the shot hit the shields and stop.
To be fair, though, I'd like to think that Star Wars science, if you will, was actually more based on polarizing the whole.
No, because when you look... Oh, I'm going to kill right now. Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
They said that there was a shield being emitted from Endor to the incomplete Death Star. And
for all intents and purposes, that shield actually worked like a shield.
In the original...
They had to shut it down in order just to get through it.
Yes, in the original footage, they showed an A-Wing trying to pull up, but not pulling up, impacting that shield and exploding on the shield.
But that's also a special type of shield that they designed just for the Death Star as well, not so much like the shields that work on a ship.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, what the shields in the show, they didn't stop nothing. You could argue maybe they're going to stop physical things like missiles. Maybe they'll stop lasers. They didn't stop anything. Any fire you saw one ship do towards another, it hit them. Now, in the new Star Trek movies, the same damn thing. When they fire phasers or energy weapons or even torpedoes at the Enterprise, you see the shot. Their shields are up, but you'll see the shot go straight to the ship and hit the hull and blow a hole in the hull. Like, the shields aren't even there. So I'm like, that right there has been a rage item for me. It's like, what are you talking about? We have shields. Star Trek shields do what they're supposed to do. They stop weapons fire.
Oh, man.
It's like, really? I mean, Scotty, come on, Scotty. Make the shields work. Give him a bottle of whiskey and a wrench and some duct tape and tell him to go fix that ish.
That sounds a little familiar to how we managed to get Deg to fix his microphone situation.
Oh, my God.
What? Wait, did you just call me Scotty?
Yes,
you are our Scotty.
He's Dr. Captain. You are now Degatus Scotty.
Jesus.
And you gotta be like, I'm giving it all she's got, Captain. And then you have to play Star Trek Bridge Commander.
Huh?
We're just casting Deg off guard completely.
It's an
now.
Old school game, which certain fans left comments about it. Yes, Star Trek Bridge Commander, in my opinion, one of the, if not the, best Star Trek game ever created. And that they really need to make a part two. Like, that'd be one thing that I'd be willing to kickstart to get it made.
Why don't you... Wait, that's a thought right there. Why don't you actually try getting it kickstarted?
Huh.
Well, you don't really have the rights to the game or anything, right?
Well, no, but I mean, if I...
But, you know, at the same time...
I'm like, hey, guys, we will have... I mean, approaching a company saying, hey, game company, we want to use this. We will pay you whatever you want, but we want this game made out of love.
Well, at the same time, aren't the rights actually up for it anyway? Because when's the last time you actually saw it on digital distribution?
Star Trek rights are still owned by Paramount and them.
Okay, well, I'm sure Paramount and everyone, you know, at the major Hollywood studios are familiar with Kickstarter by now.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And if they're not, they should really be listening to our show.
Or they should kick themselves in the head.
Anyway.
I mean, talking to the audience, that's a question to you. F. We were to somehow make a Kickstarter proposal for a Star Trek Bridge Commander Part 2. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Please post them in the comments.
I'd be down for it.
Totally. And remember, you can comment at our Facebook page, Facebook Good Game Guys. You can also check us out on the Twitters at Good Game Guys 1.
That's the number one, by the way, not the word.
Indeed. You can even send us an email at originalgoodgameguys@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. By all means, send us, like, material and such that you think that we missed out. Correct us. Tell us we're wrong. Start an argument with us.
Show us some good stuff. Hey, you know, send us some ideas. We might even use your topics.
Also, before we hop on right now, there's a piece of information I need to let you guys know, Star Trek related. If you guys have been playing Star Trek Online, that all this week they are giving away free items from their cash shop.
No way.
Yes.
What?
Today they're giving away a Saber-class ship and a Klingon Raptor. So all you do is you go on, you sign in, you go to the C-Store, and you claim your items. And tomorrow, of course, they're going to be having their fourth anniversary celebration, which they're going to be giving away more free prizes and whatnot.
Oh, right on. I might have to log on then just to get some stuff.
It's your free stuff.
With that said, this is the Good Game Guys
signing off.